This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
What does that mean? I mean, what does 0505 mean?
That was a song that was inspired by the Hurricane Rita Katrina thing. There's a bunch of lyrics on there that was my way, I guess, of doing that. 0505.
Okay, are we ready?
Maybe. Big.
The big
Cinco de Mayo.
Phallic microphone is working.
Yeah.
And over here, the weapon of mass destruction is working. And over here, the big John Holmes porn star microphone is working, even though Pastor Hornmaster and John Necraptus never speak. Okay, ready when you are. I'm ready now. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight we have a very special guest, the ghost of Ronald Reagan. And yes, he is here, so he's just kind of babbling in the next room, but he is here, and he is going to be our live guest. Plus, we have lots of music, some new music, and all kinds of great shit. Let's start with a song from the old days of Reagan in the early 80s from New York. This is by the band called Reagan Youth, and this is their song entitled Reagan Youth.
Ah! Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Okay, if you heard our 10th anniversary show celebrations, you heard that we were part of a handful of projects, some our own and some supporting other people's projects, like our friend Javier's video project, Uncensored TV, about the gun and racism and sicko culture in Tucson, and a handful of other projects. One of them is supporting the tribute project to the late Pete McWilliams, and this is a track that is from a tribute CD to him by Julia Rose, and this is entitled Still.
Spoken, you heal my heart broken. is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist and Ronald Reagan's ghost. And it warms our hearts to be able to present the show tonight, our first show after the three-part 10th anniversary celebration. And now we're going to play a recent track by Genia Raven with special guest Gar Francis, brand new from her, entitled I Won't Cry Anymore.
On my shoulders, and my burden is No. Iran. Iran Gate. Contragate. North Scam. Iranamuck. Here we go again with the best present we've received in a long, long time. Your friend and mine, Grandpa Caligula, the Gipper. Boy, is he shitting Teflon bricks now. The great communicator now calls reporters sons of bitches. Caught with his greedy, scaly hands in the genocide cookie jar. Hiding arms deals from his own army. Relying on a compulsive liar, a five-star colonel, to make secret foreign policy in his cubicle in the White House basement. The moral equivalent of our founding fathers, the Contras, got their cash to go around killing doctors, teachers, women, children from mafia-style Swiss bank accounts and less widely reported cocaine deals. Can you imagine the look on poor Nancy's face if they proved that Ronnie's so-called freedom fighters were the ones bringing in those drugs for our children? This is the greatest soap opera going. Not even Get Smart has so many hilarious surprises. Speaking of Get Smart, have you noticed how much Maxwell Smart looks like Robert McFarlane? And isn't George Shultz a little too perfect in his role as the chief? Moaning at his desk, one disaster after another created by his finest secret agents. Oh, Max. Now look what you've done. You can't die from ODing on Valium. That darn fool kid. Reagan Duffy, the flaky fanatic, the only wheeler dealer in the whole Mideastern poker game who is so bad, he makes Jimmy Carter look like he knew what he was doing. We will never give in to terrorists. We will never pay ransom for hostages. Oh, no, not us. Keep in mind, he could have had all those hostages back for a cool million. But what does he do? He gives the Ayatollah of all people 30 million, and in exchange, he doesn't get the hostages back. Not all of them. What a genius! What a deal! What a guy! Don't you wish you had him on your side? Doing his best on your behalf? Don't you wish you had him to depend on next time you get caught in a small emergency like being kidnapped? What does he do when his B-movie game is up? He freaks out and stonewalls, just like Nixon. No surprise, really, when you look around and see how many seasoned Watergate criminals have been up to their old tricks since Reagan gave them their new jobs in the White House and in his cabinet. Just like Nixon, he blames it all on the press. Somehow it's the fault of the media that his pet terrorists got caught. Sure, he says mistakes were made, but he has yet to say he was sorry. He says, I know my people did nothing wrong, even though I didn't know what they'd been up to. It was all done behind my back. It was all done behind my ever-so-willing asshole. Honest, I didn't know. Would I lie to you? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe he really didn't know. It wouldn't be the first time he didn't know the obvious, now would it? Who says the great communicator ever once bothered to proofread his own script? He almost so much as admits he doesn't care. For a president of the United States, it's amazing all the things over the years he didn't know. It's almost as if he grew up watching television. For example, how many of you know that there is a token black person in Reagan's cabinet? HUD Secretary Samuel Pierce. He's been there ever since the beginning, but you just never hear about him, do you? Apparently, Reagan didn't know about him either. When he ran into him 6 months after Pierce started on the job at a meeting of big city mayors and said, "How are you, Mr. Mayor? I'm glad to meet you. How are things in your city?" Visiting Brazil, he didn't know what country he was in and called for a toast to the people of Bolivia. He then quickly covered for himself by saying, oh, Bolivia was the next stop on his Latin American trip, but he was actually going to Colombia and wasn't scheduled to visit Bolivia at all. When he was in Oklahoma campaigning for the re-election of Senator Don Nichols, he urged everyone out there to be sure and go vote for Don Rickles. What he didn't know about South Africa, his definition of apartheid live on national radio was that South Africans have eliminated the segregation we once had in our own country. Last time he unveiled his budget, he said we will be spending more money than ever before to combat the use of drugs. What he didn't know was his own budget called for less. What he didn't know about the Jews in Nazi Germany when he said, after visiting Bitburg and the cemetery with all them stormtrooper skeletons down below, you know, he said that Nazi soldiers were victims just as surely as the victims in the concentration camps. Some people got a little bit unamused. So he said, oh yes, I know all the bad things that happened in that war. I was in uniform for 4 years myself. What he didn't know was World War II took place in Europe and in the South Pacific, not in the first motion picture unit of the Army Air Corps at Hal Roach Studios in Hollywood. He said missiles launched from submarines can be recalled in event that it's a false alarm for nuclear war. What he didn't know is they can't be recalled. When asked if he'd be visiting the Vietnam War Memorial, he said, I can't tell until somebody tells me. I never know where I'm going. So, the question remains, is our buddy Ronald McGregor really in the dark? Really just an absent-minded bozo along for the ride? Or does his real evil lie elsewhere? Is this talking Gila monster with a pompadour so conniving that he knows his real role and purpose as an actor and plays it anyway? Just smile. Read the cue cards, Ronnie. Now talk assuredly and soothe the people. It's your job to soften the blow of corporate martial law. Get them to like the taste of high-tech feudalism that the powers behind the scenes who pull your strings have in mind. People unemployed and starving? Just tell them how we whooped them in Grenada. Tell them the one about the welfare mother who spent her food stamps on vodka. When someone cries atrocities, just smile and say, I'm a Contra too. And somehow, that'll make the atrocities okay. Just wait and see. They'll believe it. Because corporate martial law must come so quietly in this country that people won't even smell it. Watergate was sloppy. A Marcos-style coming to visit and deciding to stay wouldn't quite work here.
This clamp down must be eased in slowly over 30 or 40 years, so hardly anyone will notice what's going on as our rights are being systematically whittled away. At least not lift an eyebrow as long as the price is right. And the last 5 or 10 years of the onset of corporate martial law won't be quite so difficult with the right actor in the right place playing the right role for the fans. The chipper grandfather we all kind of wish we had. Grandpa Caligula. See him smile and wave as he trots off with Nancy for another holiday at the ranch. Now, if he really didn't know about all his elves playing Rambo that are still getting away with murder, check this out. There's a book out now called Dark Victory, Reagan, MCA, and the Mob. Published by Viking Press. Its author is Don Moldea. Where it is written, in the 1950s, MCA made this little deal with the Screen Actors Guild, that's the Actors Union, an exclusive, what they called a blanket waiver, that would make MCA billions of dollars. It was rigged so only MCA could act as agent to its own stars. MCA alone was somehow exempt from a coming actor's strike. And at that time, the president of the Screen Actors Guild was guess who? Ronald Reagan. He made the deal. His reward from MCA as his career began to peter out was to be named host of the long-running GE Television Theater. Then later on, MCA gave him 25% of the whole program, and overnight he was on his way to being a multi-millionaire. Then, in 1962, a grand jury called in Ronald McRagan. Wanted to have a few words with Ronald McRagan. Asked him if these deals he made, weren't they a little corrupt? And Reagan, professional actor, suddenly acted confused and replied almost as if on cue, clear back in 62, that he, the president of the Screen Actors Guild, didn't know what was going on. Sound familiar?
Gates of Steel. The Love Dolls did Sunshine Day from the soundtrack of Love Dolls Superstar. Jello Biafra did What Reagan Didn't Know from his first spoken word CD, No More Cocoons. Genia Raven, with special guest Gar Francis, did their brand new track, I Won't Cry Anymore. Julia Rose did Still, a tribute to Peter McWilliams. The Dead Boys did Third Generation Nation and started off with Reagan Youth doing Reagan Youth. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is Ronald Reagan's Ghost live. And our next show will be next Sunday night on March the 6th with the theme Send Walker to Mubarak. And if you haven't been following the news, Walker is the very sick and very slimy and very reprehensible governor of Wisconsin attempting to eliminate teachers' unions, every kind of union, and end collective bargaining. And he happens to be a little butt boy for the Koch brothers and corporate America. Don't be shocked. And Mubarak, of course, was the fallen dictator who fell to people power recently in Egypt. And hopefully he'll be sharing a room with Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and other similar sick people. Next Sunday night, March 6th, send Walker to Mubarak. And on March 20th, we will be celebrating Right to Privacy Day again. Right to Privacy Day 2011. And it's going to be almost exactly on the day. It's actually March 22nd. But on March 20th, we will be celebrating Right to Privacy Day, which in brief was the victory won by Bill Baird from ProChoiceLeague.org, who won a Supreme Court case in 1972 legalizing birth control for non-married people and setting the primary legal precedent that made Roe versus Wade possible in 1973, less than a year later, which legalized abortion. And we're going to celebrate Right to Privacy Day on March the 20th and talk about the current state of the American Christian Taliban and the Boner Congress attacking reproductive freedoms. All of that is to come on The Reverend Is In. And we have a couple of birthdays as well. Since the last show, Pastor Rex Catt had a birthday. Yes, our archivist, recording engineer, co-producer from afar, and friend and long-term book burner, had a birthday, and we say happy birthday to Pastor Rex Catt. And we think you'll like the song that is coming up for you. Happy birthday to Nancy from Murgatroyd Productions. And happy birthday to former live guest from, I guess like 5 or 6 years ago, Ananda Plume. Happy birthday to all of you. And speaking of Pastor Rex Catt, we are expecting no technical troubles. So if all goes right, this show will be recorded and archived and available permanently for free at Radio For All, Radio Numeral For All.net in a week or less. most likely. And of course, we will post that on the always updated ReverendBookBurn.com. And of course, write to the Reverend for your input to these forthcoming shows or feedback to already done shows. RevBookBurn@sjcdc.org. Before our guest comes, you guys are, I can't look at these guys. They're making me laugh. Before we bring out our live guest, it could be said that we are now being participants in the necro culture of this nation by bringing Reagan's ghost back to the fore by putting him on an internationally accessible, uncensored internet radio show. However, we were to be outdone in the necrophiliac department by none other than the Church of Pedophilia. That's right, the Catholic Church is... I'm not making this shit up. They want to exhume the body of the last pope. The pope that is responsible for the cover-ups of countless pedophile priests and cardinal cover-uppers. They're going to exhume the coffin for the beautification ritual. Now, just because two people on this show dug up Mother Teresa for the purpose of having sex with the corpse, and just because we brought a few ghosts here, and now we brought Ronald Reagan's ghost for this show, does it mean that we are as necrophiliac as this Church of Pedophilia, who are exhuming the Pope for the beautification process? Yes, you heard right. And so we're feeling a lot better. And in the Necro Awards, we would say that the Reagan Stooges of the past month and the Church of Pedophilia still have us beat in the necro department due to the beatification of Pope John Paul. Okay. Where is he? Yeah, let's get him out here. Since we've been promising this for a while, we can't disappoint. Okay. He walked into a wall. Good thing he's not a flesh and blood being anymore. He looks the same. You know, tall, stupid. Okay, here you go. Yes. That thing that looks like a, yes, exactly. The thing that looks like a kind of a penile thing. Okay. All right, let's go easy on him. Because he is a live guest. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Bookburn and Associates, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Cractus, spared no magnitude of effort to convince the ghost of Ronald Reagan to appear live on this show. And now that he is here, we are going to not pick on him. We are simply going to let him speak for himself and answer to some of, I guess, the most newsworthy things. Since the media has taken such an interest, since Time and Life magazine put him on the cover and did special editions and an endless list that's too fucking long to even try to recall. Let's have the Gipper Zipper speak for himself. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Reagan. Welcome to the Reverend is In. Since we talked about a lot of subjects pertaining to you on this show, Zen theme shows, and the show we did after the necroculture started saturating the American public and the corporate media had you all over it. We've talked about many subjects that maybe you could respond to. Let's start with a more cheery subject, like Afghanistan. Now, in your time, that was during the Afghan people's resistance to the Soviet Union's invasion. So what can you say about what you were doing at that time and your role in it? And, yes, exactly. Talk into that big thing that looks like a sex toy. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Buckburn, for having me on. And I'm glad you asked me about Afghanistan, because we were very busy back then, and we thought that the best way to fight the Soviet Union was to come up with a big call for jihad, and that means holy war, and put it out there that these jihadists that we were manufacturing and training and arming and helping to propagandize the holy war were compared by me to our founding fathers, just like I later did with the Contras, as they carved up the citizens of Nicaragua. And when we invented the jihad and armed them and propagandized for them, it took hold. Even my friend Sylvester Stallone made a movie about it, Rambo 3, in which they were portrayed as our friends, perfectly reasonable, lovable people. And so we decided to pump them with so much ammunition and weapons and strength that they would be a permanently unstoppable force.
Okay, in hindsight, would you say that was something that could possibly be seen as something that backfired?
I don't see that as any big deal. You know, I was talking to some of the guys shortly before my earthly expiration, and we had a good laugh over it, because those people sure knew how to raise a lot of heck. And so we were a little bit proud of our work, even though they did some things that we didn't like. We thought that overall it was a successful effort.
Okay, thank you, sir. And speaking of creating monsters, how do you remember the days when you pumped hundreds of millions of dollars to the Contras and they couldn't even fight the Sandinista army, so they decided to start a terror war against the citizens of Nicaragua to attack the new society and attack the infrastructure, kill teachers, daycare centers, Red Cross workers, literacy programs, on and on the endless list. Were you proud of all the massacres that essentially have your name on them as well as the Contra perpetrators?
Oh, we delighted in the news about the Contras, because they showed that nothing would stop them from slaughtering a village, entire communities. They had determination that just warmed our hearts, and we were happy to compare them to the founding fathers and anything else we could think of to compare them to. And we just had to overlook a few things. We were a little embarrassed that large-scale cocaine operations were a part of the Contra funding, as well as the arms sales to Iran. But we thought it was good for the greater good.
Okay. It is for the greater good. Speaking of greater good, many people who know what they're talking about, and believe me, they don't get much coverage on the in the corporate media, have said that the roots of the economic decline here is rooted in your policies of serve the rich, cut everybody else, tax cut the rich, deregulate corporate America, which is arguably the insanest act ever, and setting up the groundwork for the economic fall that, of course, came to a head in 2008. Do you feel responsible for this spike in homelessness on your watch and foreclosures and programs slashed and the endless list?
Well, we did a thing called trickle-down economics, which meant that if you serve big business and corporate America, the fruits will, of course, trickle down to the workers and stimulate the middle class and all who are below the middle class.
Yeah. Well, did that happen?
I don't know, but we still got our friends who were the wealthiest and still are to benefit tremendously. So, actually, the only trickle-down that happened was them pissing on the workers and outsourcing jobs to other countries as we deregulated them. So it had its perks. We made them very happy. And it's a good thing to make people happy. But there were some minor trade-offs, like screwing the middle class and the people below them.
Okay, well, thank you for at least admitting that. And I guess your pal in England at the time, Margaret Thatcher, who now babbles on the way you were in the final days, you were very chummy. Is there a story there? When you two were plotting wars and screwing the workers and union busting and on and on and on, were there feelings? Is there any juice you can tell us? This is the Reverend is in, you know, and people love juice.
Oh, yes. I loved Margaret Thatcher. And I guess you already guessed why there was so much time during the times that we spent together in which there was no accounting. There was no media coverage, no press conferences or public appearances. That is because we loved to frolic with each other. And even though I thought I better not get intimate with too many world leaders, I couldn't function, but I did eat her.
You ate Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, yes. And even though she made these horror movie kind of screeching sounds, she was the first famous person that I was oral on since the days when I was with Osama bin Laden, when we were training them to fight the Russians. And George Bush the First and myself were giving head to Osama. But I love Martha better because she always knew how to throw a great dinner and dessert first.
Okay, Ron, you just gave us an exclusive, and we're going to play a song about that coming up. But we're going to take a break and get back to the music. Thanks to our guest, Ronald Reagan's Ghost, for coming back from the great beyond to speak with us. We're going to play a tune from a band that is disbanding. They're on their farewell tour, and we will miss them, even though they only came to the Philly area once since the show began 10 years ago. We're going to play a track by the Asylum Street Spankers from their CD Spanker Madness, and this song is about another one of Ronald Reagan's legacy, the war on drugs. The name of this track is Winning the War on Drugs.
Fine. a trick. He used to ask me rich, big cars and shit. Sleep, I put the keys to the key. Tell him I'll be back. Go fuck with some other cat. Flirting, hitting numbers in the summer. Whole hop, top in my man's drop. Told me just he's screaming at me. Me on my back, but all the times we fuck, I think I bust twice. He was nice, kept my neck filled with ice. Me and Chanel kept me out nice. Sucking his dick, fucking the mic. I could've made it there, a real man. Something I wanted, but I never was pushy. Fucker never ate my pussy.
Say what?
One day tonight.
Come on.
My pussy.
Little Kim, bring it to me now.
I know what you're going to do. But you're cute. Had a route on Flatbush in Avenue U. Had a weak spot. He used to steal his bag with his hat. I used to see him in the tunnel. We walked into the dome, whispering my ear. He wanted to get his fuck on. I dug him, so I fucked him. It wasn't nothing. He wanted me to suck him, but I didn't. I ain't sweating. The sex was wet before stroke creep. I jumped on his dick, his ass to sleep. He woke next week, asking why I ain't keep him. I thought the ass was still sick. He let it out. Told me he bought a new calf. Could he come up right fast? Fuck my pretty ass. Nigga, the dick was trash. It's sex, record sales, you can do double glass. The way you seein' is if you eatin' me.
Come on.
Downtown taste, up like Harvest Brand. I'm trying to impress you. Five G stones, I give you 10 G's, nigga. Leave me alone,
one dick tonight.
And I got witnesses, some acts, any nigga I've been with. They ain't hit shit till they cut their tongue in this. I ain't that front of shit. I got my own bins, I got my own end. Immediate friends,
that's right.
And my girls, my girls are big niggas. Fuck the car keys, double digits. Good thing I cherish, I can be blunt. I treat it like it's precious, I ain't gon' front. Thick niggas, it's running like they really suck my pussy till they kill me. You feel me?
Yeah. wonderful that the President and Mrs. Reagan have appeared together on television, so the drug problem is finally behind us once and for all. Nothing like tossing some slick production at something to make us forget all about it. But I thought one of the President's suggestions was worth a little examination. I go to my job every morning. I go to my job every day. My buddies and me, we're all plumbers, and we can't complain, for the job is okay. So there we are drinking our coffee and smoking the last cigarette, when in comes the foreman all red in the face, saying this is the hottest one yet. So Louise says, what's the big problem? What's got you dander up, Joe? Joey goes, look in the paper, my friend, it's there for the whole world to know. The President's gonna stop all of these drugs by testing us one at a time. So all of us lays down our tools on the floor and we busily start fighting crime. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. We're filling it up to the brim. And we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. And we'll never kick up our fuss, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us. The people who work in the White House, according to what I read here, are gonna be filling their own little bottles to make sure the message is clear. At cabinet meetings with Ronnie, they're gonna be taking a break. They'll call a recess at the giver's request, and they'll all have some wee-wee to make. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. We're filling it up to the brim. And we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. And we'll never kick off our bar, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us. They're gonna be testing our children, and you can be certain of that. They're gonna be testing our old maiden aunts, and they're gonna be testing our cats. They used to go looking for traitors who commonly hid under beds. Instead of them stirring up all of this urine, they ought to try testing their heads. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. We're filling it up to the brim. And we'll never rest till we all pass the test, for we all think the world of him. We're filling a bottle for Ronnie. And we'll never kick up our fuss, for we're only doing to that little bottle what Ronnie's been doing to us. Years and years, what Ronnie's been doing to us.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am appalled by the shenanigans and hijinks that have been going on in this show. When I'm not mocking my patients and denying care to people with Medicaid, I reminisce about my beloved ex-President Bush and his mentor, the great late Gipper Ronald Reagan. And now this show is about to sink even lower by playing a song chosen because our beloved Tea Party leader and female figurehead, Michelle Bachmann, not only made statements that were anti-choice, but slamming breastfeeding. And I have the displeasure of having to introduce the song that they're going to play for Michelle Bachmann from the first album by The Damned, A
two, three, oh, she's so
messed up. I'm that time.
Reagan's famous appearance and laying the wreath in Germany of the burial site where the former SS guards were buried, one of his most notorious acts. In fact, we should talk to him about that. Ramones, Bonzo Goes to Bitburg. Before that, the Not Sensibles did I'm in Love with Margaret Thatcher. The Proletariat did Religion is the Opium of the Masses. The Damned did So Messed Up. Tom Paxton did We're Filling a Bottle for Ronnie. The Minutemen did The Big Stick. Lil' Kim did Not Tonight, and started off with the Asylum Street Spankers doing Winning the War on Drugs. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is Ronald Reagan's Ghost Live, and we have him right here. So, God, this paper is horribly, barely legible. But we thought of a lot of things ourselves, plus we got a lot of input from other people, and so we're going to try to get to all of it. A lot of people suggested subjects we never even would have thought about or remembered, but are you there? Pay attention. Somebody slap him, even though he's a ghost. Okay. Pay attention, please, and talk into the microphone. This is from a very sharp book burner who remembered a scandal that actually was only covered pretty much by Larry Flynt. And somehow, I'm not even sure what she was, like a supermodel or why she was famous, but the young woman who was involved with Alfred Bloomingdale and ended up murdered shortly after he died. I think she was going to inherit some of his fortune. Somehow that became a Reagan scandal because he was so tied with so many of your cabinet people. What can you tell us about Vicky Morgan?
Well, I can only go by the word of others because I never met the young girl myself. But from all accounts, she was a firecracker in bed. And if you gave her a lot of money and jewelry and a lot of great presents, she would respond the way she always did.
Okay, were you friends with Mr. Alfred?
Oh, yes. He was a major contributor and a wheeler and dealer behind the scenes, and a wonderful, wonderful man. And he was totally into Vicky.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up. Somebody call Larry Flynt. He'll want to update on this. Okay, you were also known for your environmental record. You appointed James Watt, like a total Christian Taliban fundamentalist, in charge of the Department of the Interior, like the head environmental person. And after Watt made remarks like, it doesn't matter what we do to the environment because the Lord is coming back in a couple of generations anyway, so what if we shit can the earth? And he was also famous for being like a total hoe for big coal and big everything that was environmentally destructive or took over Indian lands. Any thoughts as you look back on your environmental policies and appointing of James Watt?
Oh, Watt was a wonderful man. He didn't have a sense of humor like the rest of us. Like, we thought the Vicky Morgan thing was very funny, but he just made faces because he was pretty asexual, except when he rubbed his Miss Piggy doll against his private parts, but only if another person sprinkled baby powder all over him. But his environmental policies may not that have been healthiest for the people of America and the people of the world, but we made a lot of people happy who are profiting from our policies, and we can feel good that we made some people happy.
Okay, well, I guess you must be really happy about how happy you made the religious right wing and anti-choice people and Christian Taliban crusaders, because they were barely in existence in the late 70s, and then they flourished during your time. TV evangelists made mega millions, and the anti-choice movement grew, harassment grew, Christian Taliban behavior grew, in fact, terrorism grew, because the Army of God felt brazen enough to start bombing clinics and doing their thing. How do you feel about getting that ball rolling?
Well, I always said at the National Evangelical Association's conference, I would stand at the microphone and say, I am one of you. And so when they asked me to do a pitch for their campaigns to get prayer in the school or save the fetuses or end birth control, I wanted to lend a hand because they became a very significant voting bloc, and I needed all the support I could get. So we figured we'll make them happy, and we'll make the Army of God happy by telling the FBI and the Justice Department to kind of lay off of the Army of God, even after their bombings grew and grew and grew throughout the 80s.
Okay, well, aren't you a little embarrassed by that? I mean, these were American based terrorists, white Christian terrorists, who were bombing clinics and heating up the rhetoric and calling for holy war, just like some other people you knew, and calling for a theocratic dictatorship by holy nuts. Don't you feel like that could have been a mistake?
Oh, no, they were very nice people, and they always remembered our birthday. They sent presents for Nancy and myself, and whether it was little toy fetuses or something else that really touched our hearts, and I thought, we made some of our friends happy, and that's what it's all about. So we were happy about that, and I know we upset a lot of people who believe in freedom and liberty when we set up the Mies Commission to issue its report about obscenity and pornography. And it may have sounded to some people like it was anti-constitutional and totally laughs in the face of science and logic, but the resulting hysteria against pornography made a lot of censors happy, and that's what we wanted, to make them happy. So the Mies Commission, in our view, was also a big success.
Okay, let's get off of these subjects, because you're kind of driving me crazy. Let's talk about the arts. Let's see. I know you know who Bruce Springsteen is because you thought his track "Born in the USA" had the opposite of its meaning, and used it at the Republican convention in 1984. You commented after John Lennon was killed, and well, you may not have heard of the DOA song that was written in your honor called "Fucked Up Ronnie," which we forgot tonight. I'm talking to you too, if you are functional. But anyway, any words on these people?
Well, Bruce was a little bit of a disappointment because I wanted his meaning to be the opposite of what it really was and what I thought it was to be. And so we could use his to bring up a call to support our little covert wars around the world, because we didn't just have the Contras, but we also had the mercenaries in Angola terrorizing the citizens, trying to topple the government, planting landmines throughout Angola, which then had the highest rate of amputees in the world. And we thought we better start whipping up some hysteria and calls to war, and we wanted Bruce to help us. I made statements after John Lennon died, because everybody had to, because it was big news, and we thought, let's just make them happy and say that it was sad and that that sort of incident was the kind of thing we're trying to stop. But I don't know what to say about DOA, because I haven't heard of those gentlemen.
Okay, fair enough. Also on your watch, the earliest exposed cases of pedophile priest, Father Gilbert Goth, in the early 80s, was exposed, and then it turned out that he was a part of a ring of priests in, I believe, Louisiana, but I'd have to check, where the problem just became shockingly large in that area. And a Catholic writer named Jason Berry, who wrote for the Catholic Press, decided to go there and investigate to prove that this was wrong and that it was anti-Catholic hysteria coming up. And he found out that the problem was even bigger than anyone had thought, leading to him writing a book called Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Catholic Priests and the Sexual Abuse of Children. Now, on your watch, there was pretty much no action against, actually, it's not pretty much, there was no action against pedophile priests from your Justice Department and your friend, Attorney General at the time, Edwin Meese. Any thoughts as you look back to that time period?
Well, we were friends with a lot of priests and cardinals. You know, we liked Father Pavone and Father Bruce Ritter, who runs the lovely Covenant House. In fact, I even promoted them as a great example of the private sector supporting nonprofits. And, of course, I was friends with Cardinal Law and Cardinal O'Connor. They were great people, and I trusted them to handle the situation the way they saw fit, and of course to continue supporting the job that we were trying to do about the bigger issues.
Okay, what do you think of Larry Craig?
Well, he was a Republican embarrassment, because we didn't mind the pedophile priests, but we were embarrassed that one of our own had a homosexual relationship and hit on male strangers in public men's rooms, especially at airports. So we think Larry should get Christian counseling, possibly from Michelle Bachmann's Christian faith-based, what word does she use, counseling program, and so that he can get back to the kind of guy we all knew and loved.
Okay. You're killing me. All right. One last thing we have to cover, and then we'll cover the rest if we get time. It seemed like a new era of propaganda and bullshit was also ushered in your time. Before Fox News, and we use the word news loosely, very loosely, it seemed like the propaganda that propped up your myth and keeps it alive today, and the media monopolies and media consolidation, mergers, buyouts, etc., started to skyrocket during your time, and that they were very generous to you. What would you say, looking back at the beginning of the propaganda era that started in your time and led to such hopeless bullshit like Fox News or the History Channel or worse?
Well, one thing we were surely proud of was that we came up with the best propaganda and bullshit artists in the business since Goebbels, who was one of our role models. And we thought, we'll just feed the people and present things in the way of an actor, not by punching the desk, but by acting like what we were saying was completely true and made perfect sense and was absolutely necessary. So we were happy about that.
Okay. So the great beyond is not making you repentant. You're just kind of, you know, shrugging off the mayhem and possible permanent damage to life on Earth. Any parting words?
Well, I'm a little embarrassed about my son, who seems like he's one of these liberal types who's a little on the gay side. I was very upset when my daughter Patty posed for Playboy, and of course we had a good chuckle when my wife Nancy was revealed to the public to be heavily into astrology instead of the hardcore Christianity that we professed to believe in. But that's all before, and it was good to babble, you know, for the entirety of my presidency and in my declining years. And the fun was mine, and I'm just glad that nobody got hurt or became homeless on my watch.
Okay, well, thank you, Ronald Reagan. We're going to play the third set of tunes, and then if we have time, you know, we'll wrap up with you. But being that you're a ghost and everything, you know, we wanted to ask you as much as possible, you know, and see if you could shine a light on, you know, some of the grander horrors that occurred on your watch and have continued well ever since.
Oh, happy to do it. God bless you, Reverend Bookburn, and Pastor Roymaster, and John the Craptist, and happy birthday, Pastor Rex Cat.
Okay, let's play the third set of music. We're going to play a track by Pete Sears. Pete Sears was known for being in Jefferson Starship in the 70s. In the 80s, he made an album on Relics Records called Watchfire with special guests Jerry Garcia, Mickey Hart, Mimi Farina, David Grisman, Holly Near, and several others. And he responded to the slaughters in Guatemala that the U.S. was backing. And so much. The whole CD was a response to the Reagan era. And this track is from Watchfire and is entitled Nothing Personal.
Nothing. A war cast with secret sway that wants a permanent war with only a season of rest. You could see it in the shape of the U.S. advisor's squinting eye, like the tail of a wasp buzzing in the copter's hatchway over the jungle. Tenderness Junction.
Hey man, that Clarence Thomas thing. I guess you watched that, eh?
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you something. I learned something very important watching that Clarence Thomas hearing. Do you know what I learned? I don't stand a fucking chance. Don't even call the committee to order. It'd be a real short hearing. Mr. Hicks, are you familiar at all with a video series called Clam Lappers Volumes 1 through 90? All of them? I don't recall. Mr. Hicks, are you familiar at all with a man named Manuel who works at the Show World Adult Video Parlor? Manny! Mr. Hicks, they subpoena me. They subpoena me. But I tell you, after the Pee Wee Herman thing and then after the Clarence Thomas hearings, pornography's gotten a really bad name in our country. And I'd like to state for the record right now, I love pornography. I love it. I have tapes that are pure fucking art, I'm telling you. People fucking sucking every imaginable position, the finest looking women fucking sucking. I love it. For the record. Mr. Hicks, thank you for your testimony. I don't know if we have a place for you right now on the Supreme Court. But boy, you ever thought about becoming a senator? Come here, boy. Bring some of them tapes over here. Look at that. Whoa. Bring them over to Teddy's house. Yeah, look at that there. Woo, she go to that like a duck to water. Look at that. years in life that I'm going to die, you know, and my parents are going to have to come clean out my apartment. Find that porno wing I've been adding on to for years. There'll be two funerals that day. Just see my mom going through my stuff. Look, honey, here's Bill when he was a Cub Scout. Look how cute my baby is. His little short pants and his little hat. Look how cute my baby was. I wonder what's in this box over here. Rear entry, volume 1 through 40. Guy going through the gates of heaven with his mom spanking him. Mom, they were on sale. Someone named Manny called. Oh, shit. I don't understand anything, so there you go. You know my problem? I watch too much news, man. That's my problem. That's why I'm so depressed all the time. I figured it out. I watch too much CNN, man. I don't know if you've ever sat around and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I don't recommend that.
You like a chicken. I want to stuff you from the inside. My whole existence is deep fried, foul. And 1,008 unhatched eggs are gonna crack under the weight of Colonel Sanders with his cotton picking, killing cutlass on the prowl. He's gonna bone that chicken. He's gonna bone it good.
Bone it good.
He's just another racist redneck chicken slave funding his frying sessions with the help of those other boys in the hood. And I listen astounded as I watch his TV commercials with chirpy beach bikini models ripping into chicken gut. Mucked up with mayonnaise, coleslaw, glucose rolls, and powdered potato muck. I watch in disgust as they suck back the poultry fat, doing promotional crap from making mucus puke. Motion in my tummy to chuck and have nutritional spat. He wakes on about his secret 11 herbs and spices, but there ain't one pebble spice in his crumbled chuck. That racist son of a bitch is just another capitalist fascist crook. His only secret is how he managed to escape the Civil War and keep on cooking for his cause and open up more stores, because KFC is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker. Ready to be beheaded, hens in battery cages. That Colonel Sanders is way alkaline. Fat enough for the final crumb down. They invade their own shit, what goes around. Ending up in a gassy mess of Pepsi. Swamp of corn, sickly green peas. What you see isn't what you get. And the evidence is easily relieved by lemony talent. Mr. Sanders is so casually misunderstood. He picks at the till to fund a greater evil and not a greater good. Always had that creepy smile, but one was engraved upon his face. Obviously, some marketing jerk thought Ronald had a point of smiling when behaving with such disgrace. Even Richard III thought to make him a smile. How could Sanders stand up to any trial when Ronald put the people's right to libel in its place? But he ain't no dear old grandpa who can offer sound advice. He'd advise you to burn your boyfriend on the cross if he wasn't covered white like a Western Christian. And all the smiles in the world couldn't tempt me to swallow the fat French fry up he serves in his poultry abattoir. The smile on his face just can't erase all the times he stoked the fire, because KFC is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker. So come on, every chicken tonight. This ain't gonna be some song sung by Gonzo and the Muppet Show tonight. Roosters, muster your flock and fasten your muzzles. This will be the charge of your final victorious cockfight. We're gonna grill us up some of Sanders' little helpers. Domstruck, drawn stick, juice dribbling, low-wage, bucking and drippy high, unimpressed, body-faced elves. Right behind the ears, unsure of themselves. With that wrinkled turkey, Sanders flame on the rotating bits of chickens. Get with it. Ruffle your feathers, so chickens begin and shuffle your feet, so chickens believe it. Because you're gonna take
is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker. KFC is a motherfucker.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. Bush, and I approve this message.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Yeah.
is Dr. Lovin' Hoa, and I want to talk about our sainted tea banking party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
It's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a special one, plus a runner-up. Sunday, February 27th, 2011, at VoltaRadio.com. ReverendBookburn.com and Radio4All.net, Radio4All.net. Tonight, our runner-up is the founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus. It looks like mucus in this paper. Bernie Marcus, the founder of Home Depot, has recently made public remarks along the lines of business owners of small or large businesses who did not donate to the current wave of extremist, psychopathic, nut job, tea-associated Republicans should be shot. Yes, business owners who do not donate to the new wave of Republicans should be shot. That's something to think about if you even entertain a thought of going anywhere near a Home Depot outlet. Bernie Marcus, founder of Home Depot, runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we have an even more special recipient. Someone who could even outshine the asshole who was the runner-up. Someone truly worthy and deserving. Somebody who stands out in an even more spectacular manner than even someone as reprehensible as the runner-up. Tonight, our Asshole of the Week.
flag is but a symbol.
We have to do the flag sound.
The world is great as a nation.
No, we need flag sounds for Asshole of the Week. Starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chung.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Asshole of the Week is the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. Scott Walker, the union buster who wants to turn workers' rights back to even before the 60s, even before the 30s, and bust collective bargaining, who lied about the budget, who lied about the economic crisis in Wisconsin, cut taxes for corporations, and decided to not only order concessions, which were agreed upon anyway, but also to slash the rights of unions for collective bargaining, which I'm happy to say people are resisting in a big way. Scott Walker, a total stooge bought and paid for by the Koch brothers, a total servant only to corporate America. Scott Walker, you are Asshole of the Week. All right, let's kill the fart sounds. Thanks. Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Hoare, and that was her 2009 version. Before that, you heard Bitch Cat doing the song we use as a theme song of the Teabaggers, entitled Inbred. Before that, you heard Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, Rupert Da Costa e Silva did KFC is a Motherfucker. Bill Hicks did Sex on Trial from his Relentless comedy CD. The Fugs did Nicaragua from their Live in the 80s CD. And Pete Sears and Friends did Nothing Personal from the Watchfire CD. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. Tonight's theme has been Ronald Reagan's Ghost Live. And despite what he said, we want to thank him for coming here. So thank you, Ronald Reagan's Ghost, for being our live guest tonight at VoltaRadio.com. And it was fun. Kind of smelly, and he had the attention span of like a Carrie Prejean type, but that was cool. At least he was straightforward about, you know, his role in the decline of the world. And we will be back next week on March the 6th for the theme show Send Walker to Mubarak, and we will support the resistance of the American people and the American worker to the Scott Walkers and the Chris Christies and all the other dipshits, Rand Paul, and the endless list from the cesspool. So we will be celebrating that next Sunday night. Send Walker to Mubarak. That's on March the 6th. Then on March the 20th, Right to Privacy Day 2011, we will be celebrating Bill Baird's 1972 Supreme Court victory that legalized birth control for non-married people and made the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion possible. Plus, we'll have a lot of fun and laughs at the expense of the American Christian Taliban. And as always, lots of great tunes. We are going to play a closing tune and get out of here. Write to the Reverend Rev Bookburn at SJC. www.kcdc.org. Check out the always updated reverendbookburn.com. On YouTube, youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On Facebook, where their police forbid the use of the word Rev as a first name or Reverend, it's The Rev Bookburn. Also on Facebook, on the info tab of The Rev Bookburn site, info tab and then pages, Reverend Bookburn's fan site. All right, so we will see you next week. Let's play a closing tune. With all the division and bigotry of the Reagan people, the Bush people, the teabaggers, the Fox News assholes, and so many others, the division, the scapegoating, the bigotry, and the endless list, we thought a closing tune should counter that. And we thought, what better way to counter that than to play this next tune by Sham 69, A Song of Unity, a song entitled If the Kids Are United. Good night.
Hello, mate. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm gonna
You're listening to the Mother Volta Show right here on the Volta Radio.
Ronnie Reagan, you're a fucking moron! Fucked up, Ronnie. Not for last. But I do. I'm recalled by a fucked up, Ronnie. Fucked up, Ronnie. Fucked up, Ronnie.
Stop that!
Name went up on Blueberry Hill and shit it, and boy, how it smelled. Vietnam. President Kissinger had just stated that while he was over in Vietnam, he met a chick named Rose with a cunt full of souls who went out dozed to meet a boyfriend Mose, and he fucked up a nose. Well, that's it for the news tonight. From the newsroom of WFUCK, now back to the Bluefly LP.
Aquarius love to travel, often referred to as intelligent freaks. Like to be called motherfuckers and cocksuckers while they are fucking. Aquarius like to have a finger up their asshole while they are fucking. Big dick cocksuckers. Aquarius.
One, two, three, four. Bluefly. Show. But don't y'all cry, we'll be back again doing the same old thing. So until then, from the fellows and myself, Freddie Scott on drums, Ron on bass, and Lil Beaver with that big, big record, Teddy Pearl on guitar, Benny Latimer, who also has a big album out, on piano, Bob Radloff, the engineer. And yours truly, we leave you with these words. You Chinese chicks, you like to suck big dicks. And all you Indian hoes, you keep an ass full of souls. Hey there, you nigger bitches,
Nobody encapsulated the joy and energy and spirit of music more than Jim Capaldi. It's a brilliant night. There's still loads of stuff to come. And I'd like at this moment, if I may, to ask you to give a really warm welcome to our next on-stage guest, who is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary Moore.
Keep on.
motion through.
So, Mr. President, how would you sum up your term of office?
Well, I guess it's the best rule I ever had. Solid work for 8 years, following directly on from that terrific part in the Governor of California, where I got the title role. But here's the best bit. I'm up for this terrific new part in what promises to be a blockbuster. Nothing to do till you die. Apparently, it's down to me and that guy, what's his name, Ronald Reagan. Still, if I get it, there's a part in it for Nance, as my wife. That's curious. But I'm not counting my chickens, partly because I don't have any chickens, but mainly because I can't count.
In Washington, earlier this week, celebrities gathered for a showbiz tribute to Ronald Reagan.
Mr. Schwarzenegger, why are you here?
Basically, Barbara, to celebrate the fact that under Ronald Reagan, I've become fantastically rich.
Mr. Eastwood, what do you think is Reagan's major achievement?
Well, undoubtedly, he's done a great deal for the rich.
He's removed all my guilt about the poor.
Boy, hell, you don't have to feel ashamed being greedy, no ma'am.
You don't have to feel ashamed about being stupid, buddy. Bummer.
Hello, White House. Ronnie, we'll miss you. Unlike John Hinckley. Me hand you over now to old blue contact lenses himself, Frankie the Voice Sinatra.
Hey. Hit it, guys.
Swell of a guy, hey Ronnie, you're a bell of a well of a smell of a guy. You walked tall in Grenada, you wore the good guy's hat. You were a pal of President Marcos, but hey, let's not talk about that. Hey Ronnie, you're a dish of a guy, hey Ronnie, you're a wish of a guy, hey Ronnie. You're a fish of a swish of a fish of a guy. You really licked the Looney Tunes. You had Gaddafi on the mat. Half the bombs hit the hospitals, but hey, let's not talk about that. Hey, Ronnie, you're a chunk of a guy. Hey, Ronnie, you're a hunk of a guy. Hey, Ronnie, you're a skunk of a drunk of a drunk of a guy. Empire, you had 4B for a tract. You ran the most corrupt administration in living memory, but hey, let's not talk about that. Yes, Ronnie, you're a hit of a guy. Yes, Ronnie, you're a wit of a guy. Yes, Ronnie, you're a bit of a nit of a twit of a snit of a spit of a tit of a shit of a guy.
Viewers may be interested to know what has happened to some of the leading characters in the Reagan years. The American Bald Eagle had a successful hair transplant, but was tragically shot down by the USS Vincennes, having been mistaken for 1 million communists. The Statue of Liberty is currently serving 25 years for grand larceny, perjury, misappropriation of funds, and attempted arson. Uncle Sam died of hypothermia in a crack den in Lower East Street after being made homeless by new legislation. The Stars and Stripes is now a subsidiary of the Rising Sun. Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington have had facelifts and have moved to Beverly Hills. And after voting Reagan in 8 years ago, the American public is undergoing therapy.